All right. So let me bring you here to your 1986. You leave the legislature, and then you had the endorsement of Carl Albert and David Boren to run for attorney general. Was that a design of yours, or did they come to you and say you should run for attorney general? How did that come about?
Well, I had gotten to know Carl Albert, who was a lover of Oklahoma history, as I was. And, you know, they called him, as you will recall, John, the little giant from Little Dixie.
Yes.
You know, he was a smallish person with a booming voice,
yeah,
and a towering intellect. And we just became good friends. And I went to see him when I was getting ready to run for AG, and he gladly made an appointment for me in his office. He was a retired member of Congress then, but having been a former speaker, they gave him an office. And it was like an extra congressman for Oklahoma, because he just continued to do stuff for Oklahoma from this office. Mm-hmm. And I went to see him, and we exchanged pleasantries, and he said, "Well, what can I do for you, young man?" And I said, "Well, I have a favor to ask. I'm getting ready to run for attorney general, and I would really like your endorsement. If you would do that for me, I would do something valuable for you." And I was playing a little game, which I thought he would like. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, what would that be?" And I said, "Someday I will find a young, idealistic person, and I will support them when they run for office."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Well, you couldn't want much more than that, could you?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "I thought that might be why you were coming." And he said, "I hope you won't mind, but I have called a press conference for 5 minutes from now. And the press will be in meeting, and I'd like to endorse you at that."
Oh, my.
At that press conference. And one of the members of the press said, "Well, now, Mr. Henry's opponent is an outstanding former prosecutor named Julian Fide, and why would you endorse him?" And I think this reporter thought that maybe Ms. Speaker Albert hadn't really given it any thought, mm-hmm, which was not his way of doing things. And the speaker said, "Well, sir, I have nothing against Mr. Fide. I know nothing bad about him at all, but I do know a lot of good about Robert Henry."
Hmm.
He said, "Let me start with his father, who's a distinguished judge and jurist in Shawnee." And he just went through and he started telling my life story, you know, which he knew, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, okay, I get it, you know.
Right.
David Boren actually called me and said later on, after I got through the primary — he couldn't get involved in the primary, but after the primary was over and I had won, you know, the Democratic nomination — he said, "I wonder if you'd like to allow me to be your honorary campaign chairman." And I said, "Well, yeah, is the short answer to that." Because, you know, David Boren was stronger than dirt in those days, and still is, in my opinion. Just a great leader. And so he and I actually went on the campaign trail together and made speeches together and went through various parts of Oklahoma. So I got to campaign with the two of the masters that year.
David Boren, at that point, what was he at that point?
He was a United States Senator.
Okay, at that time. Okay, all right. Were you planning, "This is a course, I'll become Attorney General, then I'm going to run for governor, and maybe I run for senator"? I mean, was there a method to your madness in the AG's job?
Boren wanted me to consider running for governor, but I didn't think I could do that. I thought that I needed to do something that would be easier to accomplish. So there was, you know, lieutenant governor, auditor and inspector, attorney general, and I thought, well, the most interesting of these jobs is attorney general. And so I decided to run for that. And my sort of plan was to be Attorney General for a term or two and then run for something else, you know, run for governor or back to my old idea of United States Senator if it worked out. But things didn't work out that way.
But then you were reelected 4 years later, and again without opposition.
Right. I decided to leave politics for a while and go into education.
All right. But let me just say that Mike Turpin preceded you, and that's when he ran for governor.
Right.
And so that's why the AG's office became open.
Correct.
And then Susan B. Loving succeeded you, and you had appointed her as the Assistant Attorney General.
I had appointed her, my first assistant, when she was a pregnant woman when I appointed her. She was the first woman to be named first assistant, and she was actually with child when I asked her if she would do that job. And she was a phenomenal person.
So then you served under Governors Henry Bellmen, your friend, and Governor David Walters.
Yes, both good friends. Bellmen became a very special friend. I spoke at his funeral and wrote the foreword to his award-winning book, The Life and Times of Henry Bellmen. But he was a great, great soul.
Yeah.
You know, he was a kind of a towering person. He still had a farmer rancher's hand.
Yeah.
Big, rough hands, and you know, he could run cattle and plant wheat till the end of his life. He was a person who just grew constantly. He was always trying to learn something new to do, you know.
Let me say that I have his interview. I was at his ranch house, farmhouse, to interview him, and he is on our website. And David Walters I've interviewed, and he's on our website as well. I always remember when House Bill 1017 was such a major issue and eventually passed, and he came over here and he signed that. As a matter of fact, in one of the schools where my wife Margaret was, and remember that tree he sat under, and he signed that bill, House Bill 1017, supporting education.
I need to hear both of those interviews. You know, that David Walters was an exceptionally bright person. He had some problem that occurred vis-a-vis some campaign finance issues that compromised his career a bit. But talk about a bright person, as you know, and as I'm sure it was clear on your interview with him.
Yes. Yes.
He and Henry Bellmen were very, very different in almost every way. But both exceptionally talented public figures.